Glad to have you back on another week of Play by Play. Yes, we're back. Kent's back from Augusta National. He was on location last week. I was, I don't know where I was, somewhere with a baseball team. But it's good to be back, kind of get you updated on what's happening around LSU athletics. And it's hard to believe, Kent, that we are now sitting here headed towards mid-April, which means the seasons, we're about to wrap up the athletic season. There's a lot of postseason stuff coming up. Gymnastics, of course, already in the heat of that. Track and field headed down the stretch. Hard to believe even baseball. Now halfway, more than halfway through the season, but
happening quickly.
Let's start with since you went down to beautiful Augusta, the envy of all of us in the office. it was a really solid weekend, great performances, and boy, Ingrid Lindblad. What else can you say?
Ooh, only person in the first 5 years of the Augusta National Women's AM to finish in the top three. Was solo third this year, shot a 69 in the final round, and I don't care what length they're playing the course, 69 on that course is very good. It was an amazing tournament. The weather was perfect for the final round. Lots of patrons out enjoying it. And what I notice about this tournament is that it's a lot of families bringing their kids out to watch the girls play, and you kind of see the younger generation watching the people they want to be someday. And I think that's a lot of what this has made this tournament such a success in its 5 years.
Well, it certainly has made this tournament kind of the one everybody's looking at. But also, as you say, when you watch the younger kids come out to watch these college and amateur golfers, it just shows you the impact the sport's having and the growth that's going to continue, which will benefit college golf, both for the men and women.
With what's happening with the men's tours now, with the PGA and the LIV issues, women's golf is hot right now. The LPGA, you know all those stars. College golf, women's amateur golf, you know all those stars. And they're out there shining right now, and people are starting to notice it. And you'll see a lot of it this weekend when the golf team goes to Bel Air, Florida for the SEC Women's Championship at Pelican Golf Club, which is where they play an LPGA event. First time it'll be there. It starts on Friday. They play 54 holes of stroke play. The top eight teams go to match play, and you'll see some of that on SEC Network Plus and the SEC Network at the first of next week. So a great opportunity, again, to showcase women's golf. And then the men's is coming up right after that at St. Simon's Island. And
nice
that's
place.
That's a beautiful venue. So this is a big couple of weeks for both golf teams as they get ready for NCAAs down the road in May.
Do you get a sense from the coaches about going back and defending an SEC tournament? Do they feel good going into it?
Well, I tell you what, they were close last year after winning in 22. They got to the semifinals last year. A lot of the same players are back, and, you know, like to wrap up Latana and Ingrid and Carla Tejedo's career with another great finish at this event. And certainly if things fall the right way, they're going to be right in the mix again.
Yep, absolutely. Best of luck to them and the men moving forward. Let's talk baseball. As I mentioned, well beyond the halfway point for the season. Four weekends of SEC play in the books, and it has been a struggle. There's no two ways about it. The Tigers yet to pick up a series win. In fact, three of the four, they've been run-ruled in the final game to lose those series. It's, you know, Coach Jay Johnson has talked about it. There's a lot of players who, again, were part of that team last year, Kent, but they were role players. And now they're having to step into those roles that Gavin Dugas did every day. Dylan Cruz did every day. Braden Joubert, for the most part, did every day, and certainly had a number of years under his belt as a veteran college baseball player. But
Paul Skeens did once a week.
Yeah, you know. So again, there's there's a ton of talent on this team. And I've asked Jay a couple of times on, in his experience, is there such a thing as learning how to win as a team? Take away the coaches. I'm talking just internally in that locker room with the players only. He's a strong believer that that has to take place. And, you right. know, the great thing about where we are is that while the record, again, overall is not going to, you know, it's not a bad overall record. That SEC record now of 3-9 becomes concerning only because it's SEC baseball, which means there are no gimmies in conference play, and it won't be a gimme this week as you take on a consensus number 4 Tennessee in Knoxville.
Well, we talk about every week how good the league is in this or that sport, and it's turning out to be baseball. And, you know, I was listening to a conversation on radio the other day, maybe it was yesterday, and they were talking about this phenomenon of the national champion the next year having such a struggle. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU now for the third year, and it's really weird. I mean, it really is that it's come up that way, but there's something that's got to be looked at analytically or statistically that is happening all three times. LSU's case, they got a very difficult draw to start the season. There's no doubt about that, Chris.
Yeah, that computer yeah. that we're told about in Birmingham.
The dartboard they
just
throw at.
Total random that the computer came up with this schedule. That's tongue-in-cheek, of course. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Nobody, and, you know, Jay said it best. He said it on his weekly radio show. You know, Tennessee doesn't care that LSU is 3-9. Missouri's not going to care. Texas A&M's not going to care. Ole Miss is not going to care. So they're going to have to find a way to start putting some wins together. Again, they'll start this weekend in Knoxville against a very good Tennessee team. But, we've heard all of our coaches say it before, Kent. Big challenge, but a big opportunity. And, you know, the other great thing about playing in the SEC is that if you can get things going in the right direction, build some momentum, every win you get more than likely is going to be over a top 10 team,
yeah.
certainly a top 25 team, and those start to weigh more when you get to the postseason. So it's not as if the season is over with by any stretch of the imagination, but it would be about the time to start stringing some wins together. So, again, best of luck to the Tigers this weekend in Rocky Top, which is one of my favorite places, and it's only for this reason. The stadium's not nice. It's small. It's outdated, and I know they're planning to build a new one. But, Kent, it is named after a broadcaster.
Lindsey Nelson,
so,
yes.
So, like, how many Power 5 stadiums in the country are named after the radio guy?
Unfortunately, we're old enough to know who Lindsey Nelson is. I don't know if any of the players would know who Lindsey Nelson is.
I think he was a great Tennessee Vol
center
fielder.
Exactly. Yeah. He's one of the legends of broadcasting.
But can you believe they named a stadium?
I know. That's wonderful.
Hint. I mean, I'm not saying.
Chris Blair bullpen or something, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right, let's talk about softball a little bit. Great start. We've documented it here many times. 31-6 currently, 9-6 in conference play, and just coming off as we record today, a heartbreaking series in my least favorite place, Gainesville, Florida. Series tied, one game apiece, and then last night it just slipped out of the hands and a walk off by in the most brutal fashion, by the way.
Well, you were
to the Florida Gators.
You were so close in many respects to a sweep in that thing.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and just a little thing kind of got you here and there, and you end up only getting one. But I thought it was a good effort from LSU all weekend long watching those games. I thought we really did a lot of good things. We played hard, and I thought, like I say, I thought there was every chance to sweep that thing, and, you know. Now you got Auburn coming in here, I believe, or do they go to Auburn?
Nope, they come here to Tiger Park.
Yes, okay. And so chance to get back on back on the horse, so to speak, and get some more conference wins this weekend.
Yeah, you got Auburn coming in this weekend, and hard to believe, we mentioned from the outset of the show that we're headed down the back stretch softball with, I believe, four more weekend series, only three against SEC competition. They'll wrap up the final weekend out of conference against Liberty. So the season is coming fast.
And included in all that, Chris, is two very interesting scheduling back-to-back weeknight games with UL Lafayette, one here and one in Lafayette. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun for the fans of both schools for those two games.
Yeah, it'll be the Tigers and the Cajuns on Tuesday, April 16th in the midweek here at Tiger Park. And then on the 23rd, going into that final weekend, they'll play in Lafayette. So, again, best of luck to softball this weekend at home against Auburn. Let's talk women and men's tennis because, again, another sport that is headed down the stretch. In fact, two more meets remain for both squads. The men will be on the road against Vanderbilt on April 12th. Then they'll be at Auburn on April 14th. And for the women, they will be at home, Alabama on the 12th, Auburn here in Baton Rouge on the 14th before the SEC championships begin.
And the men's SEC championship is right here at the LSU Tennis Complex in Baton Rouge, which is right across the street from Alec Box Stadium. If you have not watched a college tennis match, especially when a lot of fans are there, it can be wild and it can be fun, and you'll see a lot of great tennis. So a great opportunity coming up in a couple of weeks for the SEC Tennis Championships. We don't get to host it here that often, so a great chance to watch all the good SEC tennis players come in here for that championship.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Kent. We were having a conversation in the office, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, and I've heard you talk about it. We've talked about it on the show, how the SEC Network and Network Plus over the years has risen LSU gymnastics, SEC gymnastics. The same can be said for softball. And I think tweaks here or there, you're going to start to see that rise in tennis because of the excitement. Because, again, you got to make it television friendly. You know, again, the time is always a concern. The action is always a concern. But I think tennis is on the forefront of becoming that next sport that makes a major rise in the
college ranks. Will televise the championships here in Baton Rouge as well, the finals. And so you get to see a little that on television. But I would urge the tennis community in Baton Rouge, which is pretty large, to come out and support this thing. And I think you'll really enjoy it when it comes to town next week.
Before we take a break, and coming up, you may be asking yourself, well, wait a minute, you guys have talked about all these sports and you haven't said a thing yet about LSU gymnastics, who is headed towards, again, the NCAA tournament, semifinals, and possible championship in Fort Worth.
We need to correct that.
We got it special. We have LSU legend Ashley Natt, now an assistant coach, former Tiger great. She's going to be on here to talk about it. But it occurs to me, Kent, and Harrison, I know, is over here listening, the one guy that we have not had on the show that we need to work hard, probably won't do it in, maybe not in season two, maybe season three, is Dennis Shaver, national championship coach of track and field.
That would be a great idea.
And I think as we finish this segment and go to break, we need to talk about LSU track and field. We've mentioned them, and they're high ranked for both the men and women squads, but let's give an update on LSU track and field.
Well, I'll tell you what, they've had some wonderful performances, and this is a big year for track and field because it is an Olympic year, and a lot of these athletes, especially those from foreign countries, will soon be going to their Olympic trials. And, of course, the Olympic trials are coming up in a couple of months, I would say, early June probably, I don't believe they're in Eugene this year. I think they are in another location this year. But the Olympic trials are important, and we'll see some LSU athletes. But before then, there is the SECs and the Nationals for colleges, and that is always spectacular. Track and field, athletes performing at their absolute best. We've had a lot of success. The meets out at Bernie Moore this year, they've run some great times out there, and we've got another one coming up, which has always been a fabulous meet, the Alumni Gold Meet, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I liked what Coach Shaver did a couple of weeks ago. Pat Henry and Dennis Shaver and a few other schools who have usually gone to Texas Relays had their own meet here in Baton Rouge with several teams here, and it turned out to be amazing, some of the performances in that meet. So maybe there's another spring stop that schools are going to want to put on their schedule coming to Baton Rouge for that. But the Alumni Gold Meet coming up is always a great one. A lot of former track athletes who are running their own preparation after leaving LSU for the Olympics and for the trials will be here to run as well. And it's always just a very nice day of track.
Yeah, and again, I like the start at 10 a.m., which will be on April 20th. You can come out on Saturday. The weather is usually pretty good that time of the day before it even gets hot. And then you got the rest of your day to enjoy. And then again, on the 27th, the Invitational also at 10 a.m. This weekend, they'll be at the Tom Jones Invitational in Gainesville. Not to be confused with the Welsh singing legend, but they'll compete in that on the 12th and 13th. Before, again, the outdoor will be also in California. You going on that trip, or are you going
to
be?
No, I'm going to be busy in Florida.
Okay, all right.
And by the way, when we go to break, can I get a fly swatter, please? We have we have an animal flying around here that I need to take care of before we get Ashley in here for the gym segment. We need to do a little extermination here.
It's a play-by-play Wild Kingdom special edition. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, again, the legend, Ashley Knapp, she'll join us here on Play-by-Play. Yeah. Welcome in. As we told you, we're going to talk LSU gymnastics, and why not? Because right now they are absolutely. What is it we say, Ken, on the show? They win, no matter what.
And they win. They keep winning.
Just continues, and coming off a really strong performance, incredible performance actually, in the Fayetteville Regional, and now they are headed to vie for a national title. And it is a pleasure to welcome assistant coach, former LSU great in her own right, no doubt, Ashley Knapp. Ashley, congratulations to you, the staff, the team, coming off the performance last weekend, and what an incredible year here in 2024.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I mean, Kent, I mean, how do you – we're running out of adjectives and descriptives to kind of talk about this team. You've done a very good job this year on the show, but, I mean, it's just one right after another. You think that may be the greatest, and then, boom, they go back and do it again.
Well, I sat through the first 198 this year at the Maravich Center, and you think that's so good, and then they come back home a couple of weeks later, and there's an even better 198, and they're selling the building out, the tens. It seems like it happens so frequently and so wonderfully, but you're right. It's been an amazing season, and Ashley, I know – you guys had to be pleased with how things went in Fayetteville on both nights, really, of the meet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first day was definitely a little bit more of a challenge in terms of just getting our energy up. And I think we had a few mistakes, a little uncharacteristic things that happened. And I think as we advanced into the second day, it was something that we wanted to correct a few things. And just really iron out the wrinkles. But our girls did such a great job. Just we had to switch rotation patterns, and like they just handled it. And it was like everything that was thrown at them, like they handled and they moved forward. But they also just did what they do every single day. And I think that's kind of been our main message to them, is just your normal is enough. Your normal is enough. And continuing to preach that and beat that drum, just allowing them to be themselves and not worry about the pressures of everything else that's going on around them. Just go out there and do your normal, and that's going to get the job done.
I know a couple of weeks ago when Jay was with us, one of the things he talked about was that you don't get your normal look at the equipment, so to speak, the day before because of the play-in meet.
Right.
And that just seems an even bigger adjustment that the ladies had to go through and handled pretty well.
Definitely. So, in our SEC competition, there's a practice day, a podium training day, and as well as at Nationals, there's a podium training day. So then at Regionals, it's just a look-through. So we went into the arena. We looked at it. kind of got a layout.
That's the beam.
Where they're going to go, what they're going to be doing. And the girls were in and out. And then we moved into the next thing. And, yeah, like you said, the next day, the first day of competition, just adjusting to the equipment, they handled all of that really well.
You know, Ashley, I was, you know, watching some of it. My wife and I were taking it in. And, you know, the first thing when Jay was on here last time, we were talking about the field that you would face. And, again, the SEC, we talk about it with all our coaches and all of our teams. It really does mean more, and it certainly is true in gymnastics. So you have Arkansas, the host team. You got Kentucky there, who I know LSU defeated here in Baton Rouge earlier in the season, and number 15, Minnesota. Because you've been there, because you've competed, as you're watching those 2 days, what did you see about the competition and how LSU really had to step it up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think gymnastics is interesting because there's no defense, right? Like, we're not worried about if someone's going to come over and push us off the beam. We just have to kind of stick to what we know how to do. And so, you know, we knew the teams that we were up against. We've seen Arkansas. We've seen Kentucky. Minnesota we hadn't seen, but obviously looked at them throughout the year. And we knew how good they had been and their strengths. And so I think from event to event, we knew that sometimes the scoring might be higher or lower in different places. But I think, like I said before, it's just making sure our girls stick to their gymnastics and what we're doing and staying focused on us. And trying to make it less about everybody else and just what we can do when we hit the competition floor every single time.
Well, I think answering the call is a lot sometimes of what college gymnastics is, because with six count five and the uneven bars was the perfect example of that. Yeah. Last rotation, you have a mistake, have to count or have a low score posted. Your last five have got to come in there or you might not make it.
Right.
And they all answered the call.
Absolutely. I mean, what just a tremendous rotation and a tremendous group effort from that group. Definitely an uncharacteristic mistake first up in the lineup from Alexis, but to watch the girls go after her and just right the ship and stay true to themselves, not try to do anything out of the ordinary. It was really cool to watch and to feel the momentum build. And then obviously closing out with Haley's 10 was unbelievable. There are not enough words to describe what she's doing for us right now.
I know that your specialty as far as coaching is the beam. I just wonder, in this time when women's gymnastics, women's sports is so hot, not just basketball, but what has happened in gymnastics, what I saw last week in Augusta at the National AM, do you, the former gymnast, ever dream that this, I wish I was still competing to be in this era of gymnastics?
No, I think I'm grateful for my time as an athlete. I think it was special, and we were starting to do the things that we're seeing the results of now. And so being a part of that initial build into what this program has become and the way that we're chipping away and just building towards that national title, I think just even being a part of that is super special to me. But it's more special to be on the floor with our girls and watch them just honor LSU and represent the letters at a really high level.
Well, Ken, as we know, Ashley and the coaching staff, I mean, she still continues to win. She was winning when she was competing. Now she's winning as a coach. Of course, Coach Clark, Region 1 Coach of the Year, the staff, the Region 1 Assistant Coaches of the Year. Ashley, you took a regional award. I mean, that has to be, again, going back to what Kent was asking, you were at the highest of highs as a competitor for LSU Gymnastics, and now to be being recognized for the work you're doing for the younger gymnasts and being honored as a coach, that's got to be a thrill.
Definitely. Definitely super grateful, but I think – most importantly, I just think about the people that I'm surrounded with. I think Garrett and Courtney and Jay and Katie Kuplin and everybody, like all of the people that we have on our team, we push each other to get better. And like we push each other to think differently and to strategize in different ways and to use different ideas. And we're very collaborative, but we're also a family. You know, those are the people that I call and I rely on and I depend upon. And I think that is what drives success. I think our athletes feel how connected we are as a staff. And I think that we're all connected because of Jay's leadership and the way that, you know, he promotes that connectivity between people.
Actually, I remember, it just seems like yesterday that, you know, Kent and me and thousands of LSU fans watching you compete. And you mentioned being a part of watching this sport grow, not only at LSU, but across the SEC and, for that matter, across the country. And I've told Jay this before. I've told Dee this before. My first gymnastics meet was in 2016. And I walked out and said, it's, you know, high-level sports, just technical. The technical difficulty is amazing, yet around it is kind of a WWE, you know, event. It was just fire and smoke and noise. And I mean, it's really super exciting.
Amazing.
But for you, again, just a couple of years removed from competing, is there a difference? Are you watching things being done that you now go, wow? I mean, how much has changed with the actual athletes what we're watching?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the sport is definitely continuing to grow. In terms of difficulty, I think there are things that athletes have the ability to do now in terms of, you know, transitioning between going to the Olympics and competing for NCAA at the same time. That wasn't happening, you know, super often 10 years ago. That was a rare case. And now we're seeing three or four girls who are training for both and who are competing in both, which raises the level of gymnastics. I think, obviously, execution and the cleanliness and the technique of the gymnastics is paramount, right? Like, a 10 is a 10. And so they're all striving for perfection, and I think we're seeing more of that as the sport continues to become more popular. And it's really a cool thing to watch, and to watch our girls be the recipients of so many, you know, good things and accolades that come to them. They are hardworking, and they deserve every single one of those things. So it's really cool to be a part of.
When this team got together at the beginning of the season, when you went on your retreat before the season, what did you know? What did you feel about this team? And what did you learn as the season went on about these ladies?
Yeah, absolutely. Our retreat is probably one of the most important things that we get to do with the girls. And it's really our first opportunity to get them in the same room and get them on the same page about what the goals are going to be. I think what we knew when we arrived was that we were going to be talented, you know. But I think what we learned last year, just battling through injury and difficulty and situation after situation, there was a selflessness to that team and a team before everybody else that was foundational and fundamental, and it was something that we wanted to translate into this team. And so it was like, okay, we have new faces, we have transfers, we have freshmen, and we have tons of talent, but how are we going to get them to work together? How are we going to get them to gel and have that same sense of selflessness that the team before had had? And I think having those key players around from the year before who had climbed literally through the trenches trying to get to where they went and getting that ultimate you know, just result at the end. I think having those key players on our team this year has been foundational, and they've really been able to adopt those attributes.
You know, one of the things, Ashley, that stood out to me, and Kent and I have talked about this on the show, we talked about it with Coach Clark, is that a lot of times, and I'm as guilty as anybody because I'm a fan number one, is that when a season begins, every moment, every meet becomes so critical that early on in the season, there were some stumbles, there were some issues, and you immediately think, okay, well, we're already in the thick of the season, and I'm talking as a fan and myself, how much can you change, how much can you improve? And it was just absolutely amazing to see how some of the things that the team wasn't perfect, I'll put it that way, early, became their strengths, and they got better and better. I mean, you could watch it. Even as a casual fan, you could see the improvement that was made. And that goes a lot to the coaches and certainly to the young ladies who put the work in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. After every meet, we go into our team meeting and we do well, better, and how. What do we do well? What do we want to do better? How are we going to do it? And week to week, and it was the girls giving us the feedback. It wasn't, hey, this, like, us as a staff, we need to get better. It was them saying, no, like, this is where we need to get better at. This is what we want to see improve. And so they took control and ownership of that. And every week they wanted to take a step forward. And so they really put the work in practice. And then to watch that come to fruition on the competition floor. That's all you can. That's all you can ask for as a coach.
All right, Kent. Let's dig into Ashley's mind and experience. Because let's talk about what lies ahead. And quickly, before we talk about what's coming up in Fort Worth, a lot of times, again, we get caught up in sports where we go, man, this team is hot. I mean, they performed at a peak level. We don't want them to be off for 3, 4, 5 days, much less a week or longer. Right. Does that apply in gymnastics? Or is that, in your experience as a high-level competitor, is that the way it needs to be? Based on how you go into these competitions.
Yeah, so there's definitely an ebb and a flow to going in and to coming out of each competition. And so having them a week apart is paramount for our girls' health and the way that their bodies are feeling at this point in time. So we're definitely prioritizing our rest. It's a long season, and it takes a toll on their body physically. And so we just try to build out enough rest time so that we can come down off of what we just did, and then we'll utilize this next week to ramp back up strategically so that when we get to that day, we're ready to go and we feel fresh. We want the girls' bodies to feel fresh.
Well, yesterday news came out that, we knew the day and we now know the time, April 18th from Fort Worth, 3:30 Central Time. Arkansas and LSU come out of Fayetteville. What do we know about California and Stanford, who will be in those semifinals?
Yeah, absolutely. So Cal, I mean, they have really put a premium on their gymnastics this year, and they've upped their game. They've been in that top three mix almost the whole season. So I think we're excited to get on the floor with them. It's a team that we don't normally see. I think that they have really strong beam and bars, and I think it's something that we're looking forward to competing with them. Stanford is definitely a little bit of a dark horse. They came out of that regional fighting, and they're trending, and they're just trending up, continuously getting better meet after meet, and we saw that pinnacle at regionals, beat out Denver for that spot, and so then we'll be on the floor with them. So we'll be excited to get on the floor with those teams.
It's the SEC, the Pac-12, and the soon-to-be SEC. When you look at the teams, the eight teams, there's the four from the SEC, the three from the Pac-12, and Oklahoma, who is trying to figure out where they're going to be next year. But it's an amazing thing, all the SEC teams that qualified. And it, again, just shows how good this, as you said, how good this league and how good these teams are that you have to compete against week after week.
Absolutely. I think it definitely raises our competitive game to be in the arena with those teams week after week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you watch those meets on the SEC network and you're just like, wow. You watch two teams not involving LSU and you're going, wow, this league is really strong in this sport. Ashley, let me ask you this, and just as a coaching question here, talking about the beam, which you're in charge of as far as coaching, what is the technique for you with a student athlete to putting together their routine, aiming for that perfect 10, but just more how you get in the gym and put that routine together? How much time does it take before the season? Does it change during the season? What are the steps involved?
Right. So each one of our athletes has an individual skill set. So I think the first thing is trying to identify what skills they're very strong at, what skills are comfortable for them, what they feel confident doing when they're on the beam. So once we identify those skills, make sure they're meeting all of their requirements. Her and I will collaborate on the choreography. I think in so many sports, it's such a team effort, but for this, it's beam to me is very personal. and so it's very much a one-on-one with each student athlete trying to figure out what's going to work for them. And so along with building a physical routine, we're also starting to create a mental routine. And so we talk about it, we'll call it their hourglass or their process, a few different things that we do to try to identify what's going on in your head during that minute 30. Because the environment is going to change so much, and so what you have within your control is what's going on in between your ears. And so we spend a lot of time talking about their process, creating the routine, and just trying to figure out what works best for them. We normally do not change as as the year goes on. However, if we feel like there's a skill that's tripping them up and they have another skill that we can add in, that's the same value, we'll swap things out and make little adjustments for each person along the way. But for the most part, we try to keep it as consistent as possible. And then we'll put them in pressure situations in the fall. So we kind of have a gauge on, number one, like, is our mental process working? And how competitive they're going to be in terms of building a lineup of girls that you feel confident are going to hit when they hit the beam.
Not to get into the minutiae too much, but there are certain requirements that have to be in each routine as well when you're building it.
Yes, so there's definitely a lot of requirements, a front skill, a back skill, multiple skills combined, a leap combination, a full turn, a dismount that has a certain skill level. And so each skill has like value, A, B, C, D, E. And so you have to be able to collect enough bonus to get your start value as well, 6 tenths.
Well, Coach, certainly.
You and I can be judges by the time this is.
I don't want to get too far into it, but.
I was going to say, Ken, she knows the minutiae. There's no question about that. And again, LSU this year, the Beam Squad was ranked number 3 nationally with their scores. So certainly knows exactly what she's doing. Before we get you out of here, Ashley, and again, it's been so incredible to watch this run and can't wait to watch it continue in Fort Worth. We did talk to Coach about Connor McClain, who's just an incredible freshman. And I want to, again, go back to your competitive days. When you work, and by the way, she was incredible on beam as a freshman.
Yeah.
What's her ceiling? I mean, because we look now, again, as fans and go, how does it get any better? But yeah. I'm sure you know it can get better.
Yes, it can. She, I mean, the ceiling for her, there isn't one. She is unbelievable, just a talent. She knows herself very well. She's very a mature competitor, which is something we kind of learned early on just in conversation with her about what her needs were and like what she wanted in competition and what she wanted that to look like. She knew right away. Most of the time that's like an ongoing conversation and like people don't figure it out till they're juniors or seniors. But she knew right away what she was going to need in order to have success on beam. She loves beam. I'm grateful for that. Most people have a love-hate relationship with it. So she is, she's an unreal talent. I think LSU fans are going to want to keep an eye out because I think there's a lot more to come from her on all of the events as she continues to progress.
And speaking of people on this team, Haley Bryant did all that with a bum elbow the other night.
That's
I'm
right.
Like, wow, that was when I found that out, I was like just blown away. I mean, it's just admirable talent and determination, Ashley, that, you know, she gets out there and does that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, too, like it's just like we were talking about before, is the selflessness that they learned last year. Haley is just a picture of consistency. And so for her to know that she has to make adjustments for her arm and to be able to make those in competition and training. And then, like I said, we'll ramp down before we ramp up for her and kind of give her a little bit more time off so that she can heal up.
Does all that get a 10, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just... Of course, of course. Again, all they do is win, get 10, 10, 10s. All right, enough of that. Again, Tiger fans, I'm sure you are ready for it, but just in case, a reminder, it's Thursday, April 18th. It will be in Fort Worth, Texas. 3:30 is when it will begin. LSU, Arkansas, Cal, and Stanford, the top two, will advance to the 20th for the championships. The great Ashley Natt joining us. Coach, incredible Tiger. And Ashley, I think just really lucky to have you an ambassador for not only LSU athletics, but the entire university and the state. So thanks for joining us. Best of luck in the Lone Star State.
Thanks so much. Thanks All for right. having me.
That's going to wrap things up this week for Play by Play. I want to thank Ashley Natt. I want to thank Harrison Ballantyne, who puts it all together, and the illustrious Kent Lowe. I'm just merely Chris Blair, reminding you to join us next time for Play by Play, presented by our friends at The Advocate. Until then, so long, everybody, and go Tigers.